They're from Kennett, and they need to be close to the hospital here. So they moved up here. And Rick Timbush was their son-in-law. So they've known him for a long time, haven't you, Brother Ronnie? Anyway, we're glad that he's here tonight. And I told him we have a Bible study on Wednesday and church service on Sunday. And the neat thing about Sunday is we have Micah and Maria Woolard coming from Kansas City to be a part of our worship team for the weekend. And they're powerful. And so Zach has done worship with them before, and Alicia. So Mike Beckencourt's in town for the fresh water worship night at the Rogers Theater tonight that Zach has been leading every 3 months. And there's different pastors and musicians involved. And so it's an exciting night over there. I saw it on my Facebook Live there for a minute and saw the picture of the staging and everything. And so we bless them to do that because they're affecting our city when they do that. And, you know, God's got something up his sleeve. I tell you something, there's something boiling in the pot, if I can put it that way, in this city and in this region. And so God is up to it, and we're going to agree with it. We're going to participate in it. And so this is an exciting time in our church and the ministries around here. And so I can't wait for the weekend. How about you guys? It's going to be a wonderful time. I just know. I don't know if the ladies going to have prayer on Friday. Probably you're going to be busy. You're prayed up, huh? All right. Well, get prayed up by Friday night. And yes, Brother Philip. Sound issues on the video? Okay. You got to click something or whatever. You don't know. I wish I'd paid attention last time that happened. I could tell you. But Lord, give Philip wisdom to click the right button or plug in the right wire in Jesus' name. Because Zach and Sean are in the middle of worshiping, are getting ready to start. They start at 6:30. So if anything, we just have to apologize or something for it. Well, how about, have you ever heard about Jesus and the redneck? You heard anything about that? I'm going to pull this back just a little more so I can read my pages here. Pastor Ken said it's not always wise because I look like an angel because of the glare off my forehead from the light, but that's okay. You know, I think everybody that's losing their hair is probably anointed, you know. But anyway, an Irishman in a wheelchair entered a restaurant one afternoon and asked the waitress for a cup of coffee. And the Irishman looked across the restaurant and asked, "Is that Jesus sitting over there?" And the waitress nodded yes to the Irishman, and he told her to give Jesus a cup of coffee on him. Well, then the next person to come in was an Englishman. So you got an Irishman that sent over a cup of coffee. Now you got an Englishman that comes in, and he had a hunchback, and he shuffled over to a booth, painfully sat down, and asked the waitress for a cup of tea. And he also glanced across the restaurant and asked, "Is that Jesus over there?" The waitress nodded yes again, and so the Englishman said for her to give Jesus a cup of tea on him. And so the third person to come into the restaurant was a redneck on crutches, and he hobbled over to a booth, sat down, and hollered, "Hey there, sweet thing, how about getting me a cold glass of root beer?" And he too looked across the restaurant and asked, "Is that God's boy over there?" The waitress nodded yes again, so the redneck said to give Jesus a cold glass of root beer. 2. So as Jesus got up to leave, he passed by the Irishman, touched him, and said, "For your kindness, you are healed." And the Irishman felt strength come back into his legs, got up, and danced a jig right out the door. And Jesus also passed by the Englishman, touched him, and said, "For your kindness, you are healed." And the Englishman felt his back straightening up, and he raised up his hands, praised the Lord, and did a serious couple of backflips right out the door. Well, then Jesus walked towards the redneck. The redneck jumped up and yelled, "Hey, don't touch me. I'm drawing disability." Anyway, that's supposed to be a funny joke. You said sad but true. Anyway, not everybody on disability is like that. But anyhow, hey, I want to talk about the title, "You Are the Christ." Last week we talked about binding and loosing, and we're going to kind of touch on that just for a moment. But let's look at Matthew 16 once again, verses 15 through 19. And it says there in Matthew 16, 15 through 19, "And he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" So we see here, once again, that the revelation of who Jesus was. He wasn't just Jesus, the carpenter from Galilee. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so it was the Father, Jesus said, that revealed that to Peter. Aren't you glad that Father God has all the capability and power of opening up our understanding, our hearts and minds, so that we can realize the anointed position that Jesus had as the Christ? The Christ is that anointed position for our salvation, our deliverance, our healing. Everything that we have need of, he is anointed for that because of who he was called to be. He was Jesus growing up, and nobody paid as much attention to it because he was Joseph's son, the carpenter. But now he is the Christ. And the disciples, Peter really revealed that. But the key to all real success is in this revelation of who Jesus is. Is the Christ, the Holy One. And we look down, let's look at verses 21 through 24. And he talked to his disciples. It says, "Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" You see, the understanding of the carnal man was that the kingdom would be set up on earth. Now, we pray every day the Lord's Prayer. He said to pray that way. "Lord, you know, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But he had to go through that process in our position and place, so that we could be free, we could be healed, we could be saved, we could have all that he had promised to us. And so we see that we're going to receive power because of what Jesus did by our own death to our own agenda. How many know that if you just got your own agenda, you're never going to be very powerful in the kingdom of God? So many times I've stumbled my way into something very powerful, and supernatural. You know, you don't know. I told two guys today, the guys that I told Sherman that they knew him. I told them, I said, I was just a coach that became a preacher. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost that came on my life enabled me to see miracles and signs and wonders, things that I never dreamed that I would be able to see one day. But it is because of what Jesus did. But we have to die to self. And I don't know who said it. I thought I heard something earlier. But, you know, you just never think you're going to do something sometimes because you look at yourself and you say, who am I? And the disciples, they saw the carnality of the situation. Peter said, no, Lord, you don't need to do that. Surely, he didn't understand what the mission that Jesus was called to. He was called to come to earth so he could be the Lamb of God that saved us from the sins, even before the foundations of the world. He was called to shed his blood. He was called to be resurrected so that he could be the firstborn among many brethren, so that we could participate in the kingdom of God because of what he did for us. It's an awesome thing. And so we look at John chapter 5 and verse 44. See, Jesus had to rebuke Peter. I didn't even read it all, did I? Let's go ahead. Let me read the rest of that in Matthew 16, verse 23. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Do you think he was really rebuking Peter? No, he was rebuking the devil that was whispering in Peter's ear. He was telling him basically, get away. Get behind me. I don't think Peter intended any harm. And many people in the kingdom of God today, they'll say things that lack faith, that will even break the anointing. But they don't understand and realize. And so when Jesus turned and looked at Peter, he was looking at the devil probably right behind, overshadowing him, and told him, look, get behind me. You're not going to stop what God the Father has in store. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's the key to success in life and ministry, is when you can put yourself down and you pick up your cross and you carry it. You know, and part of that picking up the cross sometimes has to do with where you grew up. Sometimes it has to do with where you went to school. Sometimes it has to do with what kind of job you were working. But you know, God has a plan, and he's used the power of Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection to allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and become awesome if you let him. But that's when we put our agenda to the side and we say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And we live that way. You know, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ daily. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so he had to put down his education. He was greatly educated. He was a Sanhedrin member of the Pharisees, and he was brilliant, and he could debate with the best of the scholars and the scriptures. But he had to deny himself. He had to crucify himself, you know, and allow Christ to be big in him so that Jesus' agenda was his agenda. And we have to be the same way. Oh, we're going to have a wonderful women's conference this weekend. But you know what? The Holy Ghost is really in charge. And so however it works, we make our plans, is what the Word says. Man can make his plans, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And so we're going to see some awesome things, I think, this week. And it's going to be an amazing weekend. I really believe the theme is a great theme. Let that revival begin in me. And if we all really practice that and believe it, we're going to see some amazing things come about. Hallelujah. But let's look at John 5:44, and it says there, an interesting verse, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? How many times have we seen people pat one another on the back? You know, but the fact is, it's got to be the Holy Spirit, because if not, you're just religious in the things that you do. We can commend each other, we can pat each other on the back, and oh, we're going to ordain some ladies on Sunday, because my Ken and I, both of our dads were saved under a woman pastor. So we believe women can be preachers. We wouldn't even be in the ministry, maybe not even saved today, if our fathers hadn't got saved under Sister Perry and Sister Bond. Yeah. Sister Bond first and Sister Perry after that. Over in Bird's Corner, Missouri, by the Castor River. I'm telling you, I preached a revival there one weekend. That is out there in the sticks. I'm here to tell you. My dad was the pastor back then. He had got a real touch from God, snapped out of his sicknesses and illness, and began to pastor again. And so he invited me to come and preach for him. I preached for a lot of old-timers back in those days. Preached for Brother Reagan over in Bloomfield. Preached for Brother Heitman and Dexter. Preached for Brother Beckett and Campbell. I preached for all different ones, you know, around. I can't even remember all those. What was that? Brother John's in Greenbrier. I told you about that revival. First night we had four people show up. And that was the pastor and his wife and another couple. But the young man got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know. So revival started. And then the next night we had two or three more. And then on Sunday the whole, the dentist and his family and friends came from the riding club. They came on horseback. That's when I was a young preacher. I thought, man, I must be out in the sticks. They're showing up to church on horses, you know. But, you know, I would preach wherever God sent me. If it was 4, if it was 20, if it was 1,000, it didn't matter. Man, when the anointing is on your life and you preach, what a fabulous thing it is. So when you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Him, He can take you different places. I preached in a women's prison in Gonzales, Louisiana one time. I preached in a juvenile prison across the river on the west bank of New Orleans. 35 young men came. They were locked in chains, handcuffs and chains on their feet and their hands. You know why? Because all the way from like 8 years old to 15 years old, some were murderers, some were rapists, some were breaking and entering. Every kind of bad crime there was, these young men were part of it. They brought 35 of them in and they sat down. And we had a puppet team there. And they started doing their thing with the puppets. And these guys were catcalling them, and they didn't want to see no puppets. You know, they had already seen too much of real life. And I got up there with my basketball, and I spun it on my finger. And I tossed it up in the air, caught it on my thumb. Then I dribbled between my legs and went around my back and through my legs. And they were quiet. You could have dropped a pin in that place. All these boys like basketball. I looked at them. I bounced the ball a couple times. I held it and I said, you know, you guys were disrespectful to these people that came with the puppets. And I don't have to be here. I said, I'm a basketball coach that preaches. But I'm here because I want to be. Because God loves you. And then I told a story or two. Read a scripture, and I said, how many of you want a life outside of these walls one day? You want God to change your life. Almost every one of them out of those 35 young men raised their hand, and they prayed the sinner's prayer that night. You know, when you're anointed, and everybody should be anointed, you can preach at the supermarket, you can go to the produce stand, you can preach at your grandmother's house or your aunt's house or your cousin's. You can talk at John Deere. Sherman's had a platform there for 54 years. He's been preaching over there at John Deere, showing his life before people. You know, all of us got a platform somewhere. Rico's got one over at Costello's. You know, the waitress was amazed at what happened in his life. She told me, whatever y'all are doing, keep doing it, because Rico's doing so good. You know, she was amazed. I said, well, you have to come to church sometime and see why he's doing so good. That's because God touched him, transformed him. And he'll do that with anybody. If you have a revelation of who Christ really is, he's not just Jesus that went fishing and broke bread. I mean, that's pretty amazing. He could break the bread and the loaves, the fishes, and feed thousands of people. That's a miracle. He wasn't just the guy that turned the water into wine. He's the Christ. He is the Christ. He is the one and only that can stand the gap for salvation for mankind. And when you have that revelation, man, your life will change. And then if you'll give honor, you can receive honor. When you give honor to God, the Father, and you give honor to Jesus, the Son, and you give honor to the Holy Spirit, don't treat him like some relative that you'd rather be hidden in the back room somewhere. Be real with it. Allow the Holy Ghost to be the Holy Ghost. Amen? Anyway, look at Matthew 7 with me in verse 13 and 14. And it says there, let me find it. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I quit watching the news. Every once in a while I flick it on, Fox Business, or I flick it on, what's that other one, 216 on Dish, Newsmax or something like that. Anyway, I flick it on there once in a while. I almost never watch the news anymore. And you know what? I haven't really missed it. Some people are addicted to that stuff. But, you know, somebody will tell me what's going on. And I've been happy because I got the good news. His name is Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, Jesus Christ is going to have it His way. And I got sent, Anna sent it to me, or somebody sent it to me, this Kent Christmas's prophecy, you know. And man, that guy was stirred up. I enjoyed listening to that. I listened to it in here while I was praying earlier, and it got me all charged up. I felt like prophesying for a while because of that. But you know, God's got this thing under control. And I tell you what, if people will come in hungry and open, God will change their lives. And Friday's going to be the beginning. So, Di, I hope you've got a fired up message in your belly. He does? Well, but he's got to use you. Yeah, let it flow. Let it pour out. We'll join in with you. But he says it right here. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way of destruction. Narrow is the way to life. And you know what? You only get the power to bind and to loose and to demonstrate the miracles and healings if you're walking through the narrow way. That means you got to give up some things. I tell you what, I felt more anointed since I quit watching the news all the time. I'm definitely not as negative and doom and gloom about it all. I'm very positive now because I believe great things are coming. Great things are coming. I'm telling you. And to me, it's going to be wonderful because if you can walk that narrow walk, deny yourself, get rid of your own agenda, say, Lord, I want you to have it your way, then some great things will happen. John 20, 22 says, "And when he had said this," now that what he said to them was, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you," talking to the disciples. Man, Jesus was always telling people, "Peace be unto you." You know, peace is powerful. Peace is power. Ronald Reagan used to say it, you know, that peace came through strength. If your weapons are bigger than the enemy's, the enemy isn't always going to attack you. The enemy kind of walks in fear of you. So guess what? Our weapons are bigger. Our power is greater. So you don't have to be fearful of the enemy. Oh, man, he's going to attack you from time to time. But God has your back. He will help you. He will bring you through. Don't be consumed with focusing on your enemies. Be consumed with your worship and admiration and praise unto Almighty God, because God has your back. And if you're walking the narrow way, He's going to go right through the narrow opening with you. He's going to bring you through. And so that's why He said, "And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." See, if you walk in fear, you won't do anything. Now, I know the COVID and pneumonia and all this kind of stuff is real, because Sister Cookie's here tonight and she went through the ringer. But you know what? You got to go through it to get to it. And God has squeezed her. He's allowed her to be squeezed. And so a lot of cookie is gone, and now the Holy Ghost can rise up. And it can have a cookie flavor, but it'll be the Holy Ghost power. Be chocolate chip, if it's my desire, you know. But anyway, get that chocolate chip anointing. Hallelujah. But He breathed on them, and He told them, receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus wants us to receive. He doesn't want you to lack power. And you can have it when you're filled up with the Holy Spirit to overflow. Guess what? You won't want to go the broad way. You'll want to go the narrow way. And so when you do, you're going to be free to see and do the things of the power of God. That's why in verse 23, it's not in my notes, but I got to read it anyway because it's so good. He said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Man, Jesus gave His disciples so much authority, and you couldn't do this except by Holy Spirit discernment. You know, you can tell when somebody comes up to the front if they're real or serious. Because I remember the night Rico came up here for prayer, and you were ready to step across that threshold. And he changed. From that point forward, he changed. He's a different person now. And when you're that serious with God, if you'll step in there and really believe and you want it from God, He'll breathe on you and give you the power of the Holy Ghost. And He told those disciples, "Hey, receive the Holy Ghost and go out and see people forgiven." Now, a lot of people say, "Well, you know, I can't forgive sins." Well, He just told the disciples, go, because you're the one that they see. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So the Holy Spirit lives in you. You can tell Him. That's why when we make an altar call or something and people come to get saved, I look at them, I say, "You are forgiven of your sins." Because the Bible says if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. When I was preaching in Canada Honda that third night, and I was walking down that right side, and I came down, and I was telling them, I said, "I'll never get a tattoo. I don't like them, but other people get them, and they have them. And you know what? They're human beings. You got tattoos. I'm just never going to get one. First of all, I don't like pain. I don't want any needles, you know. But furthermore, I said, But you know what? If you got a tattoo and you come to Jesus Christ, He forgives you of your sins. I'm not a judge about whether you should have one or not. But I came by that brother and I looked at him. He had these tattoos all up and down. I said, you know, you're all right if you're in Jesus. He looked at me. His eyes got about that big. I went back and I was preaching some more. Then I had an altar call. I said, if you don't know if you're going to heaven tonight and you'd like to know for sure, you come down here to this altar right now. Everybody can look and see, because if you can't do it in front of them, you can't do it anywhere. So I said, come on down here. He was one of the first ones to get up and come down here. I mean, he was one of those guys, had his hat cocked sideways and had an attitude, had these tats on him. He was all jacked up, you know, been lifting weights. And he came and had tears running down his face when he said the sinner's prayer. I said, hallelujah. It doesn't matter. If you come, Jesus will meet you. Amen. And the Christ will save you. Amen. And it's not up to me to clean the fish before they ever come to the altar. You know, you don't clean them before you catch them. You catch them and then you help them change their ways and their life. And it's so exciting to see God save people. I just love people. I told him, I said, I want everybody with purple hair and yellow hair and red and all the different colors of the rainbow and everybody tattoos. I want everybody that nobody else wants in their church. I want them here in this church. Because you know what? That proves a point. Jesus saves. He saves anybody and everybody. Whosoever will come can accept Jesus Christ and their lives can be changed. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's why you got the Holy Ghost, so that you can go forward and help save some people. In Luke chapter 22, verse 29 and 30 says, "And I bestow upon you a kingdom." This is Jesus talking to the disciples. "Just as my Father bestowed one upon me." He says, "I bestow upon you a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Wow. What lucky guys those were. Blessed. Man, you're talking about guys that weren't even educated. You're talking about tax collectors that were corrupt and thieves. But Jesus changed their lives. I mean, transformed them completely. It didn't say that they all had a doctorate in theology. You know, most of them were fishermen. And they did other trades. So, you know, God can take a plump, I'll put it in today's language. He took Smith Wigglesworth, who was a plumber, turned him into a miracle worker. I mean, he took, you know, different ones. Oral Roberts, who was destined to die of tuberculosis, and healed him. And he became a healing evangelist. You know, he took several different ones from the backside of the desert and turned them into glorious men and women of God.
Yes.
Catherine Kuhlman. She went through a divorce. Didn't know if she had a life left or not. Did you know there's life after divorce? I don't think she ever remarried. But you know what? She became a mighty evangelist of healing and miracles. I saw her in St. Louis when I was a little boy. Like 1968 or 9, something like that. I was 9 or 10 years old. And I just remember going. And she floated out with that gown on. "Hello, everyone. Holy Spirit is here tonight." And I mean, the power of God hit that place. She didn't give any big theological teachings or discussions. She walked with the power of God. And God, when He shows up, miracles happen. I tell you what, I've been blessed to be at different places at the right time to see and hear and receive an unction or two along the way. Luke 14, in verse 27, it says there, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Sometimes that requires you give up some things. I loved music. My stereo cost more than my car did. That old 67 Buick Skylark Special had fender covers on it. Man, I liked that old car. It was a good riding car. You know, if you were driving, you had a girl on a date, she was hugging the door, you could turn a certain way, she'd slide all the way across that bench seat. You have your arm out. Hey! It's all right to have a little fun here. But that old car, but I had a stereo system with speakers about as big as those hanging up there, about as loud too. We used to have stereo wars at Evangel University when I went there. They could hear my stereo all the way down the sidewalk to the cafeteria from Scott Hall. Man, I tell you what, it was glorious. You know, that's when you had your hearing, either the kids' hearing is so bad they need it turned up real loud, and it's amazing how our hearing got so much better the older we get. You know, we can hear everything. But, you know, all that, and I took pride in my album collection. You know, that was back in the days of vinyl. And I had like 200 records. And I mean, they were the biggest bands and groups that played music. And I went down to New Orleans and started working for Brother Gorman. And I got so fired up and got touched by the power of God. I went home one night and I said, I can't listen to this music anymore. And I took them out, and if they wouldn't break, they would bend. I bent them to where you couldn't play them anymore. And one by one, I tossed it in the dumpster. I bent every one of them things. You know, somebody said, why didn't you sell them? Yeah, I could have made some money off those. Well, because I didn't want anybody listening to them. If I wasn't going to, didn't want to give it on to somebody else either. And I sold my stereo to my ear, nose, and throat doctor. He liked my stereo. So he bought it. And so I didn't have a stereo anymore. It was an idol in my life. And because I decided I'm giving God my all. And we would go out witnessing on Friday nights on the lakefront to young people. We'd go down the French Quarter and witness to drunks, you know, on Bourbon Street. We'd witness. I had hookers approach me, and I'd witness to them, tell them Jesus loved them. Just everybody. I wasn't afraid. I gave my life to Jesus 100%. And so, you know, I was a little bit hard, though, because I thought everybody should be as dedicated as I was. And it made me mad at people in church. And sometimes that anger would come out in my preaching. I had to really change, you know. And the Lord had to show me, I can't make everybody have that kind of commitment. But the power of God can draw people. And so that's when I started changing more and more and more. And God began to use me more and more and more. And He'll use you more as you'd get... Give your life completely to Him. He will allow that Holy Spirit touch to bring you through. And the point is, there's no easy way, only the narrow way. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate. That's the only way you can get to where you want to be at that level. You know, and God's graced me. And I'm not bragging, I'm just saying, I was graced to spend time with people. I didn't deserve to be there. There was no way I should have been there. And it wasn't that I was special. I always thought I wasn't special. And that other people got unfair advantages. But when I died to myself and said, I'm giving it all to you, Jesus, Then all of a sudden, like a magnet, I was drawn and they drew to me and these great men of God. I mean, I told Sister Virginia, your ministry is going to be like a Verna Tompkins. You know, I had her on a Wednesday night. John Bevere preached for me. Miles Monroe preached for me. And I'm not just bragging, I'm just telling you the truth. These people were drawn to our ministry. You know, Marvin Gorman, I could go on and on and on. Brother Ken Summerall, just many, many people were drawn to come to our church. I got called by TBN several times. I've been on TBN several times. Big deal. I don't even watch it. But I went on. The last time was in Memphis, and I preached on the day that the Promise Keepers were there at the pyramid, and I talked about spiritual fathers, and God blessed it. And they called. That lady called me back and said, anytime you want to come here, you can come. You just let me know a few days in advance. Said on Friday we could have you preach. I never called her back. You know? That stuff don't mean that much to me. She said, we had more calls from the program we interviewed you on and from your preaching than anybody in the history of the station here. That, really? I couldn't believe it. You know? But it was genuine. It was heartfelt. It's my experience that I went through. It was real. That's what people are drawn to. They're drawn to somebody that is committed, that has given their life 100% to Jesus Christ. And you're not your own. And as He orders your steps and leads you, and wherever you go, He'll be with you. And the Holy Ghost will demonstrate. And people's lives will be transformed in a great, great way. And I've been privileged and blessed because of that. But there's no easy way. You can't just ride the coattails of somebody. Hey, Zach's my son, but he still has to go through the steps himself to get there. And he got a hunger that hit him, and that's why he's getting his master's degree, and he'll have it. He'll be finished with it at the end of this year, and we'll have written his thesis, which will be a book, by the way. Going to be like 200 pages. Yeah. I got to get with it, I guess. I got books in me I got to write. But I already read the verse, but you got to carry your cross. You got to bear your own cross. Whoever you are, whatever you've been through, God will use your experience and who you are to reach other people. Now, 2 Samuel 6:19, that's an interesting verse, and I'll be closing with that. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19, then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. See, David offered offerings, burnt sacrifices, and he showed the people how to dedicate themselves to the Lord. And then he blessed them. And you know, that's my goal, and that's my desire, is for us to feed the sheep and to bless the people. And you know, it's amazing how many people will come to church because you're having a dinner on Sunday. But guess what? But they do that. I'm glad. You know, if we could afford it and we had the personnel that we wouldn't wear out Tara and Twyla and the other ladies, you know, we'd do it every Sunday. I think it'd be a glorious thing. Maybe one day we'll have the means we can just cater the food in. And people can just eat in fellowship after. I bet we'll draw people in. But you know what? If they come for the natural food And if they listen and they open their heart, they can receive something powerful that's supernatural. Amen? Are you ready to see real revival? Hey, let's watch what happens starting Friday night at 7 o'clock. You know? And let's just see what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Because what He does is great, not just good. Amen? Are you all ready to see? Are you ready to give your whole heart as a living sacrifice unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Stand up with me, would you? I just praise God so much because of His greatness and His goodness. And by the way, if you need prayer after, you can come down. We'll anoint you with oil and pray for you. But just lift your hands to Almighty God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the stripes that Jesus bore on His back. I thank You for the blood that He shed on the cross, that not one drop was wasted. I thank You, God, that You raised Him from the dead, and He is alive, and He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints, and He sent the Holy Spirit to live in us and to flow through us and to touch us and to touch others. And I pray that we'll leave this place tonight knowing that Holy Ghost is going with us and that we're going to see mighty things by the power of Almighty God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all for being here. If you need prayer, you can come up. I'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray for you. And we're praying right now that God will use Zach and the city worship team to touch the community as people came. And we're believing for mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And it starts tonight even. Yeah. You need prayer? Well, I got oil on my hand, but there you go. Praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus.